obedient unto death. There are many adjectives that describe Jesus very well. Obedient is one adjective that describes Jesus very accurately. In fact, our Lord was obedient unto death on the cross. Jesus was our example. We should do our dead level best to emulate everything, every facet that we can glean out of the scriptures. We should copy him, I guess is the word. We need to imitate him totally. That's hard to do sometimes. I mean, he showed us how to cut it in the flesh. The flesh is weak. We all fall short from time to time. So I don't want this in message causing anyone any grief. Do the best you can. Learn his will. You know, to be able to be obedient to God, you have to know what he requires of us. And we learn that in his word. We learn that through his Holy Spirit. We learn his business, if you will. And that's what being obedient means to me, is putting his business before my business. Putting his will before my self-will. And that's what being obedient is. It was prophesied that Jesus would be obedient to his Father early on. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, as we begin our lesson on obedience. And we ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Father, we ask you to open eyes, open ears this day. Psalm 40, a psalm of David. We learn in Acts chapter 2, verse 30 in the New Testament, that David was a prophet. And this written almost 1,000 years before the crucifixion. Let's go with verse 1, and it reads, I waited patiently. Oh boy, that's a hard one for God's elect. We want it now, and we want it right now, not on his time schedule, and that's what we should be concerned about, is his time schedule, not our own. For the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And you know what? That's the reason that there's power in prayer, beloved. You know, we call it calling out the prayer warriors at the chapel. When we've got something that we sense and a request from somebody for prayer that we feel like it's urgent, and all are important, don't get me wrong, but we call out the prayer warriors. And there is power in prayer, beloved. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, a pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he will do that for God's elect, for his elect. He'll intercede for you and make sure that you make right decisions when you're going the wrong way. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. You know what that new song is? It's the song that the overcomers will be singing in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, revere, better translated, and shall trust in the Lord. That's very important, beloved, that you trust in the Lord. You know, you're going to be stuck in the miry clay, in the pit, if you don't trust in him. Let him establish you on the rock. That's himself, the rock with a capital R. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Put your trust in him, not in swords, not in spears, not in chariots or any other weapon. Trust in him. and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many of the deceit and lies coming from the very pulpits where God's truth is supposed to be coming from in the form of traditions of men. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. That's what the disciples spoke of in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, when the Holy Spirit spoke through them on the day of Pentecost, and they spoke of the wonderful works of God. And thy thoughts, which are to us a word. Wow, think about that. He has time to think about you. They cannot be reckoned or counted up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Man's words just cannot do justice to how good our Heavenly Father is to you, to us. Now, sharpen up for me in verse 6 through 17 is prophecy of Jesus Christ speaking to the Father. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. The sacrifice and burnt offerings did not pleasure you. Mine ears hast thou opened. If he's opened your ears, don't forget to thank him. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. What he wants is your love, your mercy, as it's translated there in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And he wants you to have knowledge of him more than burnt offerings. Hosea 6, 6. Then said I, Jesus speaking, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. He is the living word. I delight to do thy will. He's obedient to the Father. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Heart is interchangeable with mind, meaning I know your law and I'm going to be obedient to it. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have refrained my lips, O Lord, not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. The very psalm, if we backed up about 20 psalms to Psalm 22, you have the crucifixion psalm. And in verse 22 of Psalm 22, Jesus said, I'm going to make known your name among the congregation. Basically what he said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the reason Jesus came to the earth in the flesh was to defeat death and to proclaim his name among the congregation. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have not declared thy faithfulness. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, even to those in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He didn't take the truth and hide it under a bed or under a bushel basket. That's what we should do, beloved, is share the word when the truth has been shared with you. Don't hide what you know under a basket or under a bed. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. Compassion, you could think of as tender mercies. Sign of God's election as far as the way they are, compassionate. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. This word preserve, check it out, means to guard or to protect. Let his truth protect you. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Remember, this is the words of Jesus. Mine iniquities, that's my sins, my shortcomings. Did Jesus have any sins? Not of his own, but he had yours and mine, and they're considerable, have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. I couldn't help but think about Luke chapter 18, verse 10. You had the Pharisee and the publican that went into the church at the same time. And the Pharisee stood off by himself, kind of holier than thou. And he said, he prayed to himself, Lord, I'm not like these other sinners, these other adulterers, these extortioners. I fast twice a week and tithe on everything that I have. The publican, on the other hand, stood at the back of the church, wouldn't even so much as look up to heaven, beating his breast, a sign of sorrow, and said, Lord, forgive me. A sinner am I. And Jesus said, the publican went home justified, whereas the Pharisee did not. They are more, back to the iniquities and sins. They are more than the hairs on mine head. Why? Because he had your sins in mind there as well. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Remember, trust preserves you in verse 11. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Some are hunting your soul to make it fly, as is written in Ezekiel chapter 13. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that they say unto me, aha, 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 meaning that they're a form of mocking him. Even as he hung on the cross, they mocked him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I ask you, do you love his salvation? Boy, I sure do. Continually magnify him. But I am poor and needy. We all are when it comes to salvation. Let the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my Lord. I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Before he was a teenager, Jesus was obedient to his Father. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, New Testament. Luke chapter 2, as we continue our study. Oh, let's pick it up with verse 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Where we're at here, Jesus has been born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. And there was one very righteous man named Simeon. And he said, this is the Messiah. I know it. I know this is the Messiah. Anna, a prophetess, had blessed Jesus, and they had circumcised Jesus on the eighth day, which by law. And they then, having fulfilled all of that in Bethlehem, were returning home to Nazareth. Verse 39, and when they, referring to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their home city, Nazareth. Would any good thing come out of Nazareth? You bet. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God with us, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Emmanuel translated as God with us. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, required by law. Excuse me, the three major feasts, the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And when he was 12 years old, not even a teenager, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, excuse me, and the oaks are pollinating in Arkansas, child Christ tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. He stayed behind. They'd been to the feast, probably the Feast of Unleavened Bread following the Passover, and they headed home. Jesus wasn't. But they, Mary and Joseph, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. He's not there. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him, concerned about where this 13-year-old lad was. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, the scripture lawyers, no doubt some Pharisees and Sadducees, both hearing them and asking them questions. And we're going to learn these scripture lawyers were amazed at the doctrine that was coming forth out of the living Word's mouth. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. How could this 12-year-old have this understanding, this knowledge of God's Word? He hasn't been in our school. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We've been worried sick about you. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? What were you thinking? Why were you worried about me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? And about his Father's business, he was his entire life. He put God's business in front of his own business. The will of God, the business of God, more important than his own. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. This, the first words recorded that he spoke in Jerusalem, it is finished, in the book of John, the last that he would say in Jerusalem in the flesh as he hung on the cross. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, his parents. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart or in her mind. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, meaning age, and in favor with God and man. It's good to be in favor with man. It's more important to be in favor with God. And about Father's business, Jesus was. Turn over to John chapter 4, verse 27, as we continue our study on obedience. John chapter 4, we're going to pick it up with verse 27. Where we're picking it up here, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she's not even of Israel. She's a Gentile of Samaria, and was at the well, and Jesus proposed to her. He said, take of this water, that if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. And she said, Lord, give me that water. And he said, go get your husband. And she goes, Lord, I don't have a husband. He said, you speak well. You've had 5 husbands in the past, and you're not married to the man that you're with now. She said, Lord, I perceive you're a prophet. He told her everything that She knew, verse 27, everything had ever happened to her in her life. Verse 27, and we pick it up. And upon this came his disciples, upon the woman of the well of Samaria, marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, not one of the disciples said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? I don't think they dare. The woman then left her water pot, probably one of her most prized possessions. She was at the well drawing water. Evidently, she believed Jesus said, drink of this water and you'll thirst no more, because she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the anointed one, the Messiah? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. They're seeking him. And this made me think about Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, where it states that a prophet is without honor except save in his own. I'll get it out here in a minute. A prophet is without honor save in his own city or country. Something like that. Paraphrased, I'll say. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, they're thinking physical here. They're saying he must be hungry, so eat something. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, he's talking about a different meat than what they are. He's talking about the manna of God's word. And I'll add at that point, if you eat of it, you've partaken of the bread of life. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're still thinking spiritual. Did you see him bring anything to eat? He's talking, he's hungry. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He was obedient to our Heavenly Father. We have the same mission, beloved, to finish his work. Well, what is that work? 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. We've got a long time until harvest. It's 4 months off. We don't need to be doing anything for the Lord. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, open your spiritual eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You're not seeing that, and what are we talking about here? The harvest. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it states that the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's the work of God. That's what Jesus was about doing. That's what we should be about doing as well. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. How are you being paid, friend? Or maybe better asked, how much have you earned? And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That's the wages you want to earn, beloved. Life eternal. Not something that a thief can steal, your gold, or a moth can corrupt your clothing, fancy clothes. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. It all pays the same. Whether you begin at the first hour sowing the seed, or whether you came in at the 11th hour, the last part of the day, and reaping, in other words, it all pays the same. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth, a saying or proverb as Moffat translates. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You didn't sow it. Someone else sowed the seed. Other men labored, and ye are entered in to their labors and wages. Again, how are you being paid? Maybe the question better asked, how much have you earned? Jesus taught us not to seek meat that leaves the soul empty, but to work for the meat that endures into everlasting life. Flip over to John chapter 6, verse 24. John 6, 24. Where we pick this up is that Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fishes. That's a miracle, beloved. And then he and the disciples, actually the disciples only, boarded a ship. And I mean, they're watching Jesus like a hawk, every move. And they know Jesus didn't get on that ship. And they come across the other side of the sea, and they see Jesus. And there's only one ship there. Jesus walked part of the way, and he didn't walk around the sea, he walked on the sea. Verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Some of them were seeking him for the right reasons. Some of them, as we're going to find out, were seeking him for another fish sandwich. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, or Master, better translated, when camest thou hither? How did you get from the other side of the sea? We were watching. You didn't get on that ship. There's only one ship here. How did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You're looking for me because you're wanting another fish sandwich. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't work for the pay that leaves your soul empty, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. It sticks to your ribs for the eternity, beloved, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Tell us how to be obedient to God. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What are you going to do next? Show us a sign. I mean, he had just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. He'd been casting out devils. He had been healing the sick. He had been raising the dead. And they're asking for a sign. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, the wilderness. As it is written, he, or Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat. Exodus 16, 15. They thought that Moses had given them, their fathers, the manna. It wasn't Moses that gave them the manna. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. We had the living water at the water well of Samaria. here we have the bread of life. For the bread of God is he, that Christ, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believed not. And what is the work of God? Verse 29, to believe on he that God sent. Some did not believe then, some do not believe now. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus speaking, the elect, no free will in this. God gave the elect to Jesus. He is Melchizedek, meaning the king of the Zadok, the elect. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Be patient when you plant seeds, beloved. It is on his time frame, not yours. Be patient. First verse we read today. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's obedience, beloved, putting God's will before your own personal will. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This phrase, the last day, appears only here in the book of John. And it refers to the first resurrection of Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. That's the prize, if you will, if I can choose that word, for the overcomers. They partake of the first resurrection. The second death hath no power over them at that point in time. Everyone else, beloved, goes through the 1,000 years, the millennium. And this is the will of him that sent me. You want to know the will of God? Listen up. That every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The first resurrection mentioned twice. Let's go over to John chapter 9, verse 13. Father hears those who are obedient to him. As we continue, spending a lot of time here in John today. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Many today are blind as well. Think spiritual through this, beloved. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? God seemingly punished this man. Did he sin or did his parents sin? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. The reason? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This one was born blind for a reason. I, Jesus speaking, must work the works of him that sent me, obedience. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And this might seem a bit strange to us, but let me ask you a question. When God created or formed Adam, what substance did he use? Clay. That's pretty simple to me, the correlation. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. This man was sent, and Jesus is sending him to receive his sight. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. A miracle. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? This guy sees now. This is the one we know. We've seen him for years and years, since he was born. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He looks like him. But said, he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Tell us the good news. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Do things God's way. Be obedient to your Father. Good things come your way. Then said they unto him, excuse me, where is he? He said, I know not. You know, he wouldn't have recognized Jesus anyway. He couldn't see when he saw Jesus. He only knew that it was Jesus because they said it's Jesus. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath, day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. This will cause a stir among the Pharisees. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he, referring to Jesus, put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Again, think spiritual. Jesus has the ability to open eyes today. That's the reason that I pray every time we begin a message that, Father, open eyes, open ears this day. Spiritual is what we're talking about. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because if he keepeth not the Sabbath day, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day, he's a sinner. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, of Jesus, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet, meaning he's a man of God. But the Jews, some Kenites mixed in about them, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Jesus is a fraud. This guy was a plant by Jesus. He wasn't blind all along and received his sight until, or so they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Excuse me. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? They're trying to intimidate the parents. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. That much we do know. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Excuse me, for who hath opened his eyes, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Well said on the part of the parents. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. excommunicated from the church. If you say Jesus, that is the Messiah, then you're out of the church. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. He's an adult, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. Not this Jesus. We know that this man is a sinner. Jesus is a sinner. Wonder who made them the judge. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That's what I know about this. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? They're envious of this. They're thinking, man, if we could learn how to do this, we would really be able to pack them in. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Are you going to take up your cross and follow him? Then they reviled him. This means they stormed him. And said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man is about to give them one whale of a Bible lesson. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You can't see this sign because your spiritual eyes are closed, but my physical eyes have been opened. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man, referring to Jesus, were not of God, he could do nothing. He could do nothing like this. It was a miracle. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Probably good for him that they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus sought him out. He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Question. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, or sir, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. In closing, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus was obedient unto death. Philippians chapter 2, let's pick it up with verse 1 as we close. If there be therefore any consolation or appeal or comfort, you could think of as a consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, note the capital S, if any bowels of mercies, this is most inward affections that you can think of. Compassion is probably a good word. Fulfill me my joy, or complete my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, that's self-conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Jesus served all of us on the cross. I encourage you. I'll say complete my joy and ask you to be meek, lowly. Put others before yourself. Serve others as Jesus served others on the cross. That does not mean that Christians take a back seat to anyone. You're not a second-class citizen. As Pastor Arnold Murray used to always say, if somebody walks up to you and knocks you on your coon dog, you knock them on their coon dog back. We don't have to take stuff off of anyone. But Jesus, the point, served others, so should we. Look not every man on his own things or his own interests, but every man also on the things or interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be of the same mind that Christ was. You'll be a lot better off. The world will be a better place. Who, being in the form of God, Emmanuel, he was God with us, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't feel like he was shorting God by taking on that role himself. God with us, you have to understand. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Don't ever forget it. And at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I encourage you all to be obedient to him. The benefits and the wages are outstanding. It's not something a thief can steal. It's not something a moth can corrupt, such as your fancy clothing, he'll put a hole in it. The wages of his wages for obedience is eternal life. Let's go to his throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for your word that tells us how to be pleasing to you, Father, how to do your will, how to go about doing your business, how we can partake in the harvest. We know the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Please bless us in our efforts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Of men, we encourage people to study God's Word straight up.
Darlene in Georgia, my daughter bought an NASV version Bible. Is this a good translation? Well, we recommend studying with the King James Version Bible. And there's one key reason that we recommend the King James Version. That is that you can utilize a Strong's Concordance and take the words in English back to their original languages. Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament. And that adds a great deal to your study. If you've studied with the chapel any length of time, you hear both pastors referring to the Strong's Concordance quite often. Don in Michigan, regarding Adam, who was his first wife? Someone on the internet group said it was Lilith. The Bible does not talk about Lilith. Can you clarify this for me? Well, Adam biblically only had one wife. Her name was Eve. Lilith is mythological, meaning she's not a factual person. It's a fiction, if you will, is what mythology is to me. She is a figment of someone's imagination, not biblical. And Don from Michigan follows, there's so much info in other books like Enoch. What are your views on reading these other books? It does seem like some information has been left out of the Bible. Mark chapter 13, verse 23, Jesus said, "Take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." That means that in the prophets, in the Gospels, we learn all things that we need to know. Lilith can be found in other books that you mention, but that still doesn't make her true. She is a mythological character. And, you know, we try to teach our students that you can read anything that you want to after you become firmly grounded in your faith, in Christianity, your understanding of the Bible. Because then if you read a piece of junk, you recognize immediately that it doesn't align with God's Word. And therefore, should you make that your religion? Of course not. If you have any intelligence, you stick with your faith and study God's Word, not the works that contain supposedly all this other valuable information. When Jesus said, "Take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things," he didn't tell us anything in the book of Enoch or the other works that you're referring to. Mary in West Virginia, what is the Song of Moses and why should I know about it? Well, it's the title to the Song of Moses you'll find in the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 31. The actual Song of Moses is found in Deuteronomy 32, excuse me, verse 1 through 43. And why is it important that you be familiar with the song? Well, it's the song that the overcomers, those who don't worship the Antichrist, will be singing when Jesus returns. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 states that the overcomers will be singing the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. I believe the Song of the Lamb are the Psalms. Lloyd in Michigan, is it possible for the Son of Man to be on earth today? No. The Son of Man is a title that was given to Jesus Christ when he was on earth in the flesh. Jesus won't return to earth until the seventh trump sounds. He won't be returning in the flesh, and that is when the second advent, the second advent comes in. Andrew in Tennessee, was Christ crucified on a dogwood tree? You know, that's is not biblical, first of all. I have heard that said before. I've heard that the bloom of the dogwood tree forms a cross of sorts, and that
But this is all traditions of men. Don't let anyone tell you that it's biblical. I've also heard that that's the reason that dogwood trees no longer grow to significant size, so that they could not be used again. But again, that's all traditions of men. Chris in Kansas, how true is the King James Version Bible, and is the same Bible you use? Yes, we always teach from the King James Version Bible. I explained earlier why, and that's that you can use it in conjunction with a Strong's Concordance. And it is true, it is the Word of God. Sometimes it's our understanding, or misunderstanding, better said, of the letter that God wrote to us that causes us to see contradictions or think that we see contradictions, but the Word of God is true. It never contradicts itself. Mark in Tennessee, please explain the 70 weeks of Daniel. Could 1 week equal 1 year? I don't have time to go into explaining. In fact, now I sure don't. We just got the 1 minute sign. I would recommend you order the study of Daniel on cassette tape or CD. It is on our suggested studies for new students found on page 3 of every newsletter. I am out of time. I want you to know that I love you a great deal, and I know our Heavenly Father loves you a great deal because you enjoy reading the letter that He wrote to you, the Bible. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you and to reach out to others who are lost in this world of darkness. Most important this, though, you stay in His Word every day, and your Father's Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? It's because Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Dennis Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast CD, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a CD catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.